Welcome to China Manufacturing Decoded from Sofeast, the podcast where we take you through some of the major topics facing importers and manufacturers in China today. Hi listener, thanks for joining us for episode 38 of the podcast. Adrian from Sofeast here, and I'm joined by our CEO Renaud. Today, we're looking at the coronavirus situation in China. On the eve of Chinese New Year, which at the time of recording is in about a week or so's time now, we're seeing a rising number of cases centered mainly around the north and northeast of the country, with tens of millions of people set to travel around the country to go visit their families during Chinese New Year. This is a nerve-wracking time for the authorities, and they're starting to put quite strict restrictions in place on people's movements and to really limit who's going to be traveling and where. So, as an importer, if you've got a supply chain in China, how do the new restrictions affect you? Is your factory going to even get back to work after Chinese New Year quickly? How are your suppliers going to be affected? How are the staff affected? All of this is important because you've got orders coming up presumably quite soon. So let's get up to speed with what's going on in China by checking in with Renaud, who's over there in South China right now.
Hi Renaud, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm all right. How about you?
Good. Yep, keeping well. So far, so good, which is the main thing.
Yeah. It's all about health this year.
it certainly is. And of course, I suppose when people talk about health, they're probably thinking about the virus. And I know we've covered the topic of COVID-19 a few times, and that's what we're talking about again this week, but in relation to Chinese New Year this time. And I suppose if you're an importer and you've got suppliers in China, you really should be keeping an eye on what's actually going on in China at the moment during the Chinese New Year period, which is coming up in, you know, just over a week or so now, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, the factories are actually, some factories have already closed, but it's not a majority. It's more like component factories and surface treatment factories and things like that. Not really the factories that export. You know, most of them are still open, I would say. Mm. However, yeah, every day some are closing, and then next week, you know, sometime next week, pretty much all of them would be closed. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, we're recording this on January 28th. So just to give everybody some reference on what we're talking about by next week.
Right.
And so as we're starting to see the manufacturing sector in China slow down and eventually kind of close for Chinese New Year, according to the news that I'm seeing, you know, the cases have actually seemed to have been climbing quite steadily in some areas of China. So I'm interested to hear what you've heard about this and what sort of effects this is going to have perhaps on manufacturing.
Right. So if you look at the recent cases, you can just Google, you know, COVID cases in China, and yep, it will show you for the past, I don't know, past year. Okay, looking at it right now. So that's the official statistics, right? So it's about 100 some new cases per day these days. Mm-hmm. And this sounds like nothing for people in, you know, in the US, in the UK, in France, in Germany, yeah, and so on, right? For China, it's a big deal. Mm. And they are quite concerned about it right now. So I'm saying 100 some people. If you go down to early January, it was more like in the 20s. Mm. And in December, it was in the 10s. I mean, between 10 and 20. So it has gone up, especially in the northeast from what we are told. Mm-hmm. And especially around Beijing. Now, it's not Beijing itself. Like, I don't remember exactly. Maybe was it what, 4 or 5 months ago? There was a little flare up in Beijing itself and around Beijing.
Yes.
Now it's not really in Beijing. It's in Hebei province, like around Shijiazhuang and mm-hmm. these areas. They did pretty much a lockdown there again, right? And they test everybody, and they stop the movement of population because they know that, you know, it's 10 people, 100 people, 1,000 people, you know, and it goes up. You can really go up really, really fast, and they can see what's going on in the US, in Brazil, and so on, and they really, really don't want that to happen to them. Okay, plus it's an image issue also, right? They want to show we're successful against it, and they keep saying it to their population, and they need to show that they keep being successful. So this is going to be you know, whatever it costs, they're going to keep that number of new cases down. So why are we talking about this now? The Chinese government has tightened their control a bit, quite a bit, actually. Why is that? The key reason is Chinese New Year is coming up. And what happens traditionally in Chinese New Year, during Chinese New Year, is, you know, you have migrant workers who might be from Sichuan, from Jiangxi, from Henan, you know, and a lot of these people actually go and work in the, you know, typically the coastal provinces such as Guangdong, Zhejiang, Shanghai, Jiangsu, and so on. And what happens is during Chinese New Year, this is an extremely strong tradition in China, is that they move back to the to their hometown, to gather with their family members and maybe their, you know, childhood friends and everything, you know, but it's very, very family oriented. And it's like paying visits, you know, to this cousin, to this aunt, to this other cousin, and so on. It's a full schedule, as you know, right? So it's a lot of family meals and so on. And then after that, they go back, you know, typically they go back, you know, to the same area, often to the same employer. Sometimes they swap their employer. Maybe they say, oh, you know, for the kind of job I'm doing, well, I was working in Fujian, but actually in, I see that I can go to Hangzhou. There's a lot of demand and the salary is 40% higher. Hey, I'm going to go there, right? But the key thing is basically you have a huge movement of population to the hometown. So let's say it's, I don't know, some place in Sichuan, and then you have a lot of young people go back there. And if a few of them have are positive, you know, are affected by the virus, they can give it to a lot of people there. And then a lot of these people will go everywhere, will be dispatched again all over China. And that's what can really send the virus everywhere, right?
True.
And that would be absolutely disastrous, okay, in its effect. So, and they know that that's what happened last year. You know, the epicenter was in and around Wuhan, and a lot of people went from Wuhan and traveled everywhere at Chinese New Year. I mean, that was the worst timing. That's where it really went up a lot, and they started ringing all the alarm bells, and they say, okay, we have to talk about it, and we have to do something really big, and we're going to lock down, you know, 40 million people right away, and so on and so forth. So they don't want to replay, basically, and this has been pushing them to tighten the enforcement of the rules, to tighten a whole host of things, you know, in the way they monitor the situation.
When you talk about people traveling around and meeting, I mean, it's the traveling's one problem, because you've got people traveling between provinces, you know, sometimes probably from an area which is riskier, such as in the north, where the latest numbers seem to be rising the most, to somewhere that's miles away. It could take them, you know, 3 or 4 hours flight even to get home, you know, into the west or the south. So the spread around China is over a large distance, but it's also the meeting during Chinese New Year, because, you know, you'll be accustomed to this. It's not it's not a small scale thing. We're talking about large family meetings. It's with your own family, but also your extended family and your friends. People go between households, and there are, you know, there could be 10 plus people there. It's not on a sort of smaller scale, like let's say a Christmas dinner with the family might be in the UK or France, maybe, you know, where there might be 5 or 6 people, I suppose, more typically. You know, there's absolutely loads of people.
And it's not just one meal.
No, absolutely. So if the cases are now climbing rapidly by Chinese standards, it's really the worst possible timing. And okay, last year they managed to sort of lock down the Hubei area and, you know, around 40 million people, like you said. That's probably not an option for this year. They really want to avoid that again because of the damage to the economy. And as you said, there's, you know, there's a bit of a face issue going on as well. So if we're talking about this being in the north, I mean, do you see restrictions being more centered around the northern provinces, or are we seeing restrictions all around China?
No, clearly there are low risk, medium risk and high risk areas. And, you know, high risk areas being, for example, Hubei. Hubei. Basically, you know, around Beijing and Tianjin. Also, more to the northeast, in around Shenyang, from what I read. You know, there's places like that that are considered higher risk. Then there are medium risk areas and low risk areas. Now, this has come out in the last 2 weeks. We've seen a number of signs that, you know, the government is stepping up. The government wants to limit the risks. So, for example, the local government has told us, hey, try to limit the number of people who go back to their hometown in your employees, right? There's a strong desire to put a limit on that. They've also requested that we pay more attention to the rules, to, you know, everybody wearing a mask and a few other basic measures like that. So they're definitely pushing the pressure up, okay? And now they have not said you can't go back to the hometown, okay? They have not said that, except for the government employees, for example. From what I read, they can't. But in the private sector, there is still a lot of, you know, freedom in that respect. People can go, but are strongly discouraged to go, right? That's the idea. Now, if you are a migrant worker, you know, maybe you haven't seen your kid, you're a mother, you know, a kid of 6-year-old, and you haven't seen her for a year, you're going to go back, you know, no matter what the government says. But some of them are in different situations. For example, they encourage their parents to fly. You know, for example, some people in Shenzhen get their parents to fly in from, I don't know, from Hunan, for example, or to take the train, typically. So that limits, obviously, number of people who go to the hometown. Actually, you get the, you know, some people to come from the hometown to you. And what we've observed and heard of is that there's already a lot of perverse effects from that effort to keep people where they are. Some people saw that and say, whoa, I'm going to go now. I'm not going to wait. I was planning to go, you know, whatever, February 1st or February 5th. But the more we wait, with the numbers of cases going up and everybody getting scared, I'm going to be stuck. They gotta prevent me from going, right? Legitimate fear, I guess. So what have they done, you know? January 20, bye-bye, right? Plus, they're thinking, if I go too late, when I arrive in the hometown, they're going to put me in quarantine, you know, 7 days, 14 days, who knows? So I'm going to go now. That's not an option. I don't want to take that risk. And this has put a lot of manufacturers in a very delicate situation. I mean, you always have, you know, I mean, no, I should not say that. But the typical manufacturing company in China that has, I don't know, a 20-25% turnover rate of the staff at Chinese New Year, they you know, most of the people have been there like 2, 3, 4, 5 years, but not that much longer. There's not much people development kind of efforts in the company. Well, these people always have, you know, people floating around basically, and then you always have a portion of them disappearing when, you know, you don't really know when they're going to disappear basically. So this is always the case every year. Now this year it's worse. All right. Some factories had to close already because they say, hey, you know, so many people have left. It's just better that we close, right? Right. We've heard about that. So
especially if they're key staff, you know, like key contacts. So that could be quite disruptive if somebody you've been dealing with quite closely on your project has already gone.
Yes. Plus, and usually the office staff would not leave that early. Usually the sales people are... if they go, they will still, you know, keep in touch on WeChat or email. They want to get their 2% or whatever percentage they get. So that they are not the main problem. The main problem is, you know, that guy who's the only one who knows how to set up that key machinery, or the one who's the only one who can keep it running, because every few days it goes down and we need someone to the artist, you know, or the master, as they call it often, to put it back in working condition. Well, that guy's gone now. We're toast. You know, that's it, over, right? That is just an example, but really, or hey, you know, we have like 4 workshops, but in one of the workshops, damn, you know, 95% of the people are gone, and you know, we don't have all the welders. You know, I mean, you're not going to improvise yourself as a welder, for example. So if you can't do it, you know, most of the people are gone, that's it, finished. You know, you can't keep making finished products. So yes, this is really impacting some of the factories, and that is actually a lot of exporters are suffering. So we see a lot of articles about, you know, in kitchenware and gym equipment and office equipment and this and this and that. Well, you know, there's a lot of growth, and look, China's exports have never been that high. You know, they're doing great, but as we wrote on the blog, I don't know when was that, 10 days ago or last week, everybody's actually been kind of suffering from an unfavorable exchange rate, at least for companies that import products out of China or export them from China. So the RMB has gone from roughly 7 to roughly, let me just search it right now, 1 USD in RMB is 6.47. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's this plus a number of other factors, but yeah, a lot of companies making products in China are having it a bit tough. Plus, obviously, the logistics situation, which is just completely crazy. So, yeah, some people have gone earlier than usual. Now, with more people supposedly staying in the areas where they work, does that mean that, you know, they will keep working until the end, just before the holiday, and they will start working again just after the end of the holiday? That might be the case in, you know, for example, in purely assembly or and packing activities, where you don't really suffer from the few key people not being there. That might be the case. And well, sometimes they do start over, but they should not. You know, maybe most of the inspectors and not gone, haven't come back yet, that's a big issue, right? Last year, actually, we saw a lot of that scenario where a lot of Hubei people were blocked for a couple of months. I mean, it depends where they were exactly, but and it was not just Hubei, by the way, but a lot of key people were blocked, and this has led to some crazy situations sometimes, right? So same thing might happen here. Let's see.
Right. I was going to ask about that, actually. So, I mean, in theory, some facilities could be open and up and running faster than they normally would on an absolutely normal year. So if you're lucky enough, you might get better service.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, who knows?
So what's the sort of worst case, in your opinion? And I don't mean a huge epidemic within China that is, you know, just terrible, as we've seen in other countries. But I mean, in terms of the effect on manufacturing, if they do have a lot of, you know, lockdowns or a lot of tight restrictions, do you think that it might take manufacturing longer to get back to work?
What might happen is that the government might get really tough, you know, might try to take some very strict preventive measures. And the very strict preventive measures might put a lot of people in quarantine. You know, maybe, okay, you came back, thank you. Okay, you go to your dormitory and then you stay there for 2 weeks, you don't go out, or something like that. At least you don't go to your workplace and so on. That would have an impact. If there's an area that they lock down, well, you know, when they lock down, they really lock down. If you try to send materials to your factory there, or if you have a key component supplier there, for example, that need to make and deliver something to you, you're out of luck. And you know, they we saw a photo of the map, the Baidu map, some kind of a Chinese company map of Shijiazhuang. So that's in Hebei province, that got into a real lockdown a bit more of, you know, a bit over 1 week ago, I guess. And I mean, no traffic, you know, everything was blocked on the highways around it. Everything blocked, nothing moving.
Yeah.
Right. So, yes, this could stop the flow of material. And when the materials no longer move, well, you know, you don't have a supply chain anymore. Right. So that might have an impact. That would have an impact for sure. Are a lot of products made in Hebei? Yes. Especially some glass products, metal products, some garments, and so on. It's not the biggest producer in China for the export market, but if something like that happened in around Ningbo or around Dongguan, that would have a very strong impact. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you've got suppliers in the north of China, especially Hebei, Shenyang area, perhaps, really at the moment, it's going to be so important to be keeping your eye on the news, and also perhaps keeping in touch with them as they start to head towards Chinese New Year, just to keep the feelers out and to understand what's going on, so you can take action, I suppose, if you need to try to sort of minimize some of those risks that you might be facing.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And there are already a lot of restrictions. I'm looking into it. I asked the team about that. You know, people who travel have to show negative nucleic acid test results within 7 days before the trip. And then when they come back from rural areas, they have to have what they call a 14-day health monitoring at home after arrival. Now, I'm not sure that's from all rural areas. I'm not sure. And it doesn't really make sense what the government says now, because it might very well be different in a few days.
Sure,
But
sure.
that's the idea. I can picture, yes, a lot of people being told, hey, you go to your dorm or to your apartment and that's it. If you walk around, we catch you, you have a serious fine, right? Yeah, this will depend on the medium and high risk regions. This will depends on where they will come from. And we don't know now what the medium and high risk regions will be, what the list will be in a couple of weeks. So if you work with a manufacturer, that happens sometimes. You work with a manufacturer and then, 80% of their staff is from a certain province. If suddenly that province becomes a high risk area,
You're in
it's gonna
trouble.
be a big mess for that factory. They're not gonna be able to restart production as planned. I mean, this is gonna be bad.
So have any of the staff at Southeast or at St. Julian decided that they're not going to go home because of this?
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, they don't have to tell us what they do or where they go.
Sure.
I guess our HR manager is keeping tabs on that. But this will be most important when they come back, right? And some of them haven't decided yet. I mean, if you are, if you work in Dongguan and you have your family in, not that far away, that it would be, for example, a 10-hour car trip. You don't have to decide everything up front, right? You might say, yeah, I'd like to go, I'd probably go, but I haven't decided yet. So it's not that clear yet.
Well, it's very much like the Chinese to watch what's going on carefully, and then when they finally start to see how the situation is unfolding, then they make a decision, I think.
Yeah. Again, this whole episode of the podcast is really, be aware of the situation. Keep an eye on what the high risk and medium risk areas are and where the staff at your factories are going to, try to maybe have a little bit of an idea if that might have an impact on your supply chain. And again, have some visibility over where your sub-suppliers are, the suppliers of your own suppliers, because if there's a lockdown where they are, this is going to impact you. But no crystal ball, sorry, I can't tell you. Which of your suppliers are going to be impacted?
Sure, but the warning is enough. That's what it's all about
Right,
today, I
right,
think.
right. Yeah, exactly.
Great.
Yeah, and just one more thing, actually, most people might not know, but they might be interested. In Hong Kong, actually, there's also been a mini lockdown in an area, actually in two areas, in sort of in a mid, sort of the. Middle south of Kowloon in the Jordan area and then in Yau Ma Tei, which is just north of Jordan. They cordoned off a few blocks for a few days. They tested everybody. It also has to do with leakage of the pipes in some of these old buildings. I will spare you the details, but anyway, this can lead to spreading of the virus. Right. So Hong Kong also is changing its approach. It's going a little bit more in following the steps of mainland China. They also mainland China, I think in December, said that anybody coming from abroad to China has to undertake 3 weeks of quarantine, and Hong Kong also say the same, 3 weeks of quarantine in a hotel. So they they're kind of they're following the same playbook. Hong Kong is looking at what Beijing is doing and following.
Is that only for Hong Kong nationals, or are foreign nationals able to travel into Hong Kong, but then they've got to quarantine?
Oh yes. No, you can go to Hong Kong. It's not the same as mainland China. It's not as closed.
Right.
However, you will face 3 weeks of quarantine in a hotel that you would pay.
Yeah. which is no fun and also not inexpensive. I mean, it's probably a good sort of couple of $1,000, right? US dollars.
I remember I saw the list of the hotels. It's on a Hong Kong government website somewhere, and it goes from some relatively cheap hotels for, by Hong Kong standards, up to, I think, the Four Seasons was there, and
Oh,
maybe the
nice.
Shangri-La and so on. No, you can do your quarantine in style, I can tell you. And that's going to be pretty damn expensive.
Yeah, for sure. But quite that would be quite the experience. But yeah, I think most people would probably prefer not to have to go through that at all. Which I mean, and we've spoken about this before, that this all adds a lot of obstacles into the way of any foreign importers who are planning to visit their suppliers, whether they're in Hong Kong, of course, or China itself. I
Oh,
mean,
wow.
you say that people can go into Hong Kong from other nations. That's all very well, but I don't even know if foreign nationals are allowed into China at all at the moment.
Only under certain very strict conditions. Yeah, of course, if you have a proper work visa plus, you do all the paperwork, yes, you can, yes.
Okay, it's good to know.
And your dependents can also.
Right,
Yeah,
yes, okay.
if you go for a dependent visa, your dependents can come too.
But that's if
So,
you're working in China, but if you're just
correct.
planning to visit a supplier, so you're a
Oh
business
yeah,
person.
forget it. Forget it. Yeah, forget it.
Good to know. Okay. Well, fingers crossed that China continue to do a good job of handling it all. I think as we head into Chinese New Year, it's definitely a period of heightened alert and a risky period. So I, for one, will be keeping my eye on China and keeping my fingers crossed for sure.
Yep, so will I.
Excellent. Okay. If anything does come up, of course, we'll come back to everybody listening and produce another episode on this if there's any other important info. But until then, thank you for listening and thanks for joining me, Renaud.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for joining us. If you've enjoyed today's podcast, don't forget to like and share, and you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other places that you get your podcasts from. See you next time.